Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your one-stop shop for raising kids in this tech-heavy world. We bring on professionals and experts to give you all the tools you need to help your kids become fire-breathing warriors that have the strength to break out of the mold society has put them in. At the end of the day, we're all here for one reason, to help save some kids. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your host, Nate Webb, live in Studio Salt Lake City area, and we got a show for you today. As parents, it's our job to protect, empower our kids, but how can we protect our kids when we don't know what they're up against? Whether it's a tablet, a phone, a computer, our kids are exposed to a minefield of predators, cyberbullies, and sexual content. And we are the first generation with this problem. There is no handbook. Well, I guess there's a bajillion now, but there's no intro of how to do this, and we're the first ones with it. And so today we have here with us Titania Jordan from Bark Technologies to help us as we go through that minefield. Welcome to the show. Titania is a renowned thought leader in digital parenting. She has contributed in pieces in the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Huffington Post, and more. Her first book, Parenting in a Tech World, was published in 2020 and quickly became a bestseller on Amazon. In 2017, she founded a Facebook group where parents could come together and get advice on raising kids in a digital age, share stories, and learn from the news and social media. And has more than 300,000 members in that Facebook group now and growing rapidly. She works with Bark to help parents have confidence to raise their kids in a tech-heavy world. Welcome to the show, my friend. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Man, so, okay. How the heck did you get into this space? Like, how did you get involved with Bark? Like, what's your story? Let us know.
Oh, wow. Well, I believe that it's honestly by the grace of God, because I do not have a degree in computer science. I have a degree in marketing, and to be at a tech company with this level of innovation is incredible. You know, I'm incredibly passionate about keeping kids safe, whether it's in real life, and then obviously now online. Right. An advocate for mental health awareness, education, and support. And growing up as a child that had to struggle with some really tough things, as well as a teenager and then a young adult, I've unfortunately been there, but fortunately I've been there. So right. I have experience and empathy, and just trying to help this next generation as well as the generations that come after.
Man, and we're so grateful for that, because especially right now, I feel like since, I don't know, 2020, 2018-ish, there's been a lot of people now in this space advocating for the dangers of social media online. A lot of people pointing at the problem. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there has been not as many people presenting solutions to the problem, right? A lot of doom and gloom, a lot of fear mongering. And a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon because it's going to get them, you know, a lot of views and stuff, but not a lot of solutions. And something that I love is that what you guys at Bark are doing is giving us solutions. So for those who are living under a rock, please tell us, what is Bark? What is Bark Technologies? What do they do?
So Bark is tech that keeps kids safer online and in real life. Mm-hmm. And specifically, the way we do that is by utilizing artificial intelligence to connect to children's devices, social media, text, email, accounts. Mm-hmm. And then when our AI detects a problem, problematic content or problematic people, it will then send an alert to the parent or caregiver, letting them know, hey, here's the problem. Here's where it happened. Here are the bits and mm-hmm. pieces. And then here are the best recommended next steps for how to address. So that's the app and the algorithm. Okay. We also recently, as within the past year, launched a safer smartphone for kids.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because parents were giving their kids unsafe smartphones and using our app to try to help with that. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, what if we could just help parents, you know, start that journey on a stronger footing with the best phone possible. So we have the Bark phone as well as the app. And it's pretty sometimes overwhelming, honestly, to think about the amount of alerts that our tech is sending each day around kids and cyberbullying and suicidal ideation and predation, and the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah. To speak to that. So I by trade, by profession, I'm a high school counselor. And we do college and career readiness meetings and group meetings and stuff. And for one of our group meetings, I had all the kids put their cell phones on their desk. And I was like, hey, guys, I'm not taking these away, but I want it, like, each of you write your name on the board. And then whenever you're like, put all your phones like on, take it off vibrate and turn it on, all alerts on. And I said, just every time your phone goes off, just put a tally mark by your name. Just for this class period, just this class period. And no joke, we had some kids who had 200 notifications come in during that class period alone. And I'm like, wow, y'all are 13, 14 years old. Like, I wouldn't be able to pay attention if I would had that constantly in the back of my mind that I had 200 notifications an hour coming in at me. That'd be incredibly difficult. And so obviously these kids are struggling when they have these unsafe phones. And so what makes the Bark phone safe versus your stereotypical supercomputer smartphone that is unsafe for kids?
I'm glad you asked. First of all, it's an Android device because
I'm not part of the Apple cult, so I'm always super happy. Yep.
I mean, I do use Apple products as an adult. I think that's fine if that's what you choose to do.
Yes, we all make wrong choices. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But for children, iPhones, iPads, they are not the best, safest choice for children and teenagers.
Why not?
A variety of reasons. Overarching, it's that Apple prioritizes privacy over everything.
Right.
Which is, again, great for an adult.
Right.
But as a child, there's a reason why children don't live on their own, alone, and have their privacy in real life.
Right. And so it's easy for kids to hide stuff from their parents with the iPhone stuff?
Easy for kids to hide stuff from their parents. Also, Apple has their own version of screen time limits and certain parental controls. Mm-hmm. But they've also had a bug that has been rendering them ineffective for at least a year now.
Oh, gosh.
So if you're going to have the thing, make sure it works or allow other third-party platforms to do your job for you.
Right. And Apple's very private. They don't play with third-party people.
They do not. They do not. Additionally, you know, they quietly walked back some protections that would have detected CSAM, that's child sexual abuse material, in iCloud. But again, because of privacy, you know, they didn't want to step over that line. But there's so many reasons why if you're an adult and you want to go with Apple, go for it. But for kids, no, don't do it.
Okay. So A, it's an Android. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's an Android. It's the only phone that comes with Bark built in. So
that's big because you have to pay for, I mean, usually you have to pay for Bark separately, right? It's one of your products.
Bark is the Bark app is a subscription, but if you get the Bark phone, it comes with Bark built in, which, you know, scanning your children's texts and email and social media and apps for digital dangers and sending you alerts.
Right.
It also doesn't look like a kid's phone. A lot of children, as they become teenagers, obviously don't want to be called out for anything that looks juvenile. So it's really sleek, you know, Samsung device with a nice camera and capability, state of the art. It's tamper-proof parental controls, you know, and some other, configurations. Sometimes really smart kids can, you know, disconnect Bark. Right. Now Bark will alert you when that happens, but it doesn't prevent it from happening because we only have so much.
Right. It's just an app within the phone, but when it's the phone itself, it makes it easier to prevent the kid from ninjing their way through your everything.
Exactly. So whether it's monitoring texts and apps and social media and web searches to tracking location, blocking websites and apps, the ability to approve apps your children wants to download and set time limits, even the ability to remotely lock the phone, manage calls and contacts, receive alerts for dangers, and even setting remote alarms. It's just if you were going to set out to build the best phone for kids, our CTO and team did that. And honestly, I'm jealous that I didn't have that option when my son got his first phone.
Yeah. What kind of phone was your son's first phone?
So my son's first phone was a Palm, a Samsung Palm. It was cute. It was little.
Yeah.
It was great. But then he graduated because he lost it. And that was so miserable. So then, you know, gave him a hand-me-down iPhone because it's what we had around the house. You know,
right.
Seemed to be the easiest, least expensive option at the time. And wish I knew then what I know now.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine. Now, with the Bark phone, are you able to, I don't know, dumb it down, so to speak, to a dumb phone and then progressively make it a smartphone?
That's one of the many reasons why we built it the way we built it, is because, you know, some parents will buy their child a starter phone, but then quickly realize they're so limited that they have to spend more money on a new thing to do more new things.
Right.
With Bark, it can be as closed and dumb or as open as you want it to be.
Mm. That is huge, because right now there are a growing number of companies in this space trying to build kids safe phones. And I'm happy for that. I'm like, okay,
that's great.
Like, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, we have Gab Wireless, we have TrueMe, we have Pinwheel, and you guys Bark. But something that I noticed initially with a lot of these companies, you know, it was just dumb phones, a dumb phone that looked cool. So kids didn't feel ashamed of having some juvenile flip phone. But then, like you said, it's like, well, as they progress and learn, like, they're going to have a smartphone someday. They're going to have a full-fledged something someday when they're an adult, when they move out of the house, when they're 18 or 19 and they go to college and they're on their own and they're in their dorms. They're going to be on their own with a supercomputer smartphone eventually. And you don't want to go from, here, you're going to have a dumb phone your whole life, to, here's a supercomputer. Good luck. And so that's why I love the concept of being able to allow things as your child grows and learns, and as you learn and grow as a parent. I mean, let's talk about online safety for a second. Since about, you know, 2020, the awareness has begun to rise, you know, regarding the internet safety. I mean, Colin Karchner is one of those first pioneering forefathers and championing internet safety. But especially since 2020, the digital landscape has been evolving and changing. What are some of the things parents need to know about the online world right now?
Oh my gosh. That good kids make bad choices, and children are exposed to some of the worst aspects of humanity, both content and people, honestly, at a much younger age and more frequently than any parent who grew up in the 80s or 90s might imagine. It's hard to wrap our brains around because it's never been like this. Childhood has never been like this. Is a brand new type of childhood, and it's not healthy.
No.
And if you are thinking like, yeah, but not my kid, or I'll know if my kid gets involved.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I would encourage you to look at our annual report. I'm dropping it in the chat now, but you can just Google Bark annual report 2022.
It'll be in the description, guys. Go click on it. Look at it right now.
Yeah. At the rate at which children, not just teenagers, like 8-year-olds are experiencing self-harm and suicidal ideation, encountering extreme sexual content and predators, disordered eating related content, anxiety. It just, the list goes on and on and on. Bullying, depression. It weighs very heavily on my heart. And so parents first need to know that. Okay. It's hard, but you've got to know that. You've got to be educated.
Right.
Then you need to be empowered with steps, tools, solutions, conversation starters. And then you can actually adequately protect your family.
Mm, yeah. For those of you who did not click on that, go click on it now. But just some of the first stats up here. 35.7% of tweens and 64.3% of teens were involved in self-harm/suicide ideation.
Yeah.
64%. That's a lot more than half, guys, of teens were involved in self-harm and suicide ideation. And then 62.4% of tweens and then 82% of teens encountered nudity or content of a sexual nature. And we say these things to help you prepare, right, not to scare. A lot of people, right, a lot of people, you know, they're like, this is scary. And yes, it is scary. But if you don't know what you're up against, you don't know what steps you need to take in order to empower your kid. Because honestly, it's never been a better time to be a human being, right? The world is a kinder place than it's ever been. There are good people in the world. There's also bad things in the world. And to be able to enjoy the good things of that this world is offering, we also need to be able to protect our kids and empower them against these bad things that are happening as well. Go look at this report so you can see a lot of these numbers here, because it's shocking. It's shocking because a lot of parents, they live through the not my kid ideology, right? And I hear that so much, even as just a high school counselor with, you know, 400 kids in my caseload, so many, oh, no, not my kid. They know better. Not my kid. And I'm like, okay, they might know better, but do you know how tricky, like, bad people are online? Like, it's shocking and it's scary and hard. So how do parents talk to their kids about this stuff, like predators online? Because a lot of times predators are not, you know, they're not your creepy dude. Like they're suave. They're very nice and they don't seem like a predator. And so how can parents talk to their kids about this stuff to help keep them safe?
Yeah. So it's really important to talk to your kids in an age appropriate way. Mm-hmm. Younger than you might think, just about the fact that there are tricky people in real life and online that might seem like really nice and friendly, and they might give you compliments. They might send you in-app gifts and currency and games, but then they start to ask PII, that's personally identifiable information. Ooh. So if there's anybody that you're interacting with online that you don't know in real life, they haven't been to your house. They're not actually in your school, right, or in your
You've never grade. Seen them.
You've never right. seen them. They want to know your name, where you live, your parents' names, your address, where you play baseball, whatever. Big red flag.
Yeah.
Big red flag.
That's bad.
Might not be a problem, but could potentially and very realistically be a problem. So that's one thing, is to talk to your kids about tricky people, personally identifiable information. Also, just like parents, so many kids think, that'll never happen to me.
Right.
Well, you need to Google news stories about things that have happened to kids.
Yeah.
Talk about them with your kids. Be like, hey, this child left their house in the middle of the night to meet somebody that they met on Roblox. I bet their parents thought, my kid would never do that. I bet that kid's a really smart kid from a really loved home. Mm-hmm. But good kids make bad choices. I don't want this to ever, ever happen to you. And please don't ever be afraid to tell me.
Right.
You know, kids are afraid to surface things because they don't want to be shamed.
Right. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want mom and dad to fly off the handles.
Right. But your kids need to know that you're a safe place.
Yeah.
But your job is to love them and protect them.
Something I tell parents to do is tell kids they can have a no trouble bubble. And so when the kid comes up and says, mom, I got to use my no trouble bubble, you can know I need to turn on my anti-emotional technologies in my brains so that I can be stone cold face Jackson and not even twitch when they give me some tough news. So you're not flying off the handles.
No trouble bubble. I'm writing that down. I love that.
Yeah, no trouble bubble. So it's a precursor, because parents, we are such emotional beings when it comes to our cute little kids. And so when they disclose something that might be upsetting, we will be so much more upset than if some random Billy Bob down the street would have told us the exact same thing. And so if they can give us a disclaimer, a trigger warning, essentially, what I'm going to say is going to be hard to swallow, we can prepare and not go crazy. That's what that's the big reason why kids don't tell us stuff. But they need to know that we can be trusted so that they don't keep secrets from us. Because the secrets, that's what keeps them sick. You know, it's that's where it's tough. And okay, that kind of leads me into the next thing. What is something you just wish parents would understand that it just doesn't feel like they wrap their heads around right now?
Well, and this might sound a little judgy, but it's not, because I've made this mistake. I've been
right.
there.
Right. No and judgments, guys.
Yeah, no judging. Just please don't make these same mistakes, because I wish I could go back in time and do them over.
Right.
Technology is a very convenient but horrible babysitter for your child.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Please, please do not let your children have unfettered access to connected tech and devices at night, behind closed doors, sleepovers, bedrooms.
And connected tech is not just a phone or an iPad. No. We're talking TVs too. Yeah. A lot of times parents just ditch their kids watching the TV. They're all, yeah, it's just YouTube TV, or just, they're just watching Netflix. No big deal. Like just downstairs, I'm like, there's no adult in the room. Like, you guys don't really why should not we leave our kids totally unsupervised with something as innocent as Netflix for kids or YouTube kids?
Because there are terrible people out there who create content that look cartoonish in nature, but have underlying or overt sexual, graphic, violent, drug paraphernalia related content.
Yeah. There was one a while back that they hid this dude. It was like a cartoon Slender Man almost. They hid this dude in like a bunch of Peppa Pig things on YouTube.
Yes. Yeah. Online. Yes.
And in the middle of this Peppa Pig cartoon episode, this terrifying horror film cartoon character would come on and tell kids about self-harm and suicide, and then tell them to go do it. And then if they told anyone, they would come and kill their whole family. Kids were mortified. And it was on YouTube Kids. It was on something that was being advertised to kids because it was something that the bad guys were able to sneak into the algorithm and distribute it for kids. And so, yeah, don't just leave your kids alone with connected devices. If your kid's watching TV, okay, I let my kids watch TV. I'm not Amish, okay? But I'm there in the room with them is the point. Also, ads. If your kid's on YouTube TV, are just on YouTube, even kids, ads pop up. Like, some people are like, oh, not for kids. They do. And the ads are not always family friendly. I'm like, whoa. And my little 5-year-old, sometimes I'm like, go to the bathroom. And my little 5-year-old, bless his heart, I did not time my bathroom break great. Neither did my sickness. And I was there for longer than I wanted to be. And an ad came on. I'm like, crap. My phone is in the living room. I can't remotely skip the ad. Bless my 5-year-old soul. He just grabbed the Roku remote and just hit the okay and skipped it himself. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is a win. Beautiful. I'm so happy. But that does not mean I'm going to just let him watch TV unsupervised, because you don't know what's going to pop up. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I don't. It's been a long day.
I feel
you. It's only halfway through.
I feel you. It is so hard. Now, there's a lot of, like we said, a lot of advocacy, a lot of doom and gloom around this stuff.
Yeah.
But something I like, you know, we're trying to be proactive in solution making now, right? One of those, you wrote a book, Parenting in the Tech World, which is published in 2020 during COVID. Yeah. Tell us a bit about that. What prompted you to co-write a book? Because writing a book, guys, takes a lot of energy and time and everything.
It is not easy. And that is why I'm so thankful I had an amazing co-author and an entire team to help.
Right.
Because left to my own devices, it still wouldn't be published. But the thing is I needed a manual. I needed a manual for how to be the best parent I could be in a tech world. And I looked for it and it didn't exist. So I created a Facebook group by that same name, and it grew like wildfire, has close to 400,000 members in it now.
Holy smokes.
But Facebook owns that group, essentially. At the end of the day, the conversations, the help that's taking place in there, I don't own that content. And who knows what's going to happen with Facebook or Facebook groups? They could kill the feature one day. And then all of a sudden, that community is gone. So I wanted to document some of the best advice, lean on experts, lean on our data at Bark, and really create something tangible that we owned, that couldn't get taken away from us, that could help parents.
And that's what that book turned into. What is some of the content of that book? Now, I'm not saying like read the thing right now, but like, what are some of the things that that book goes over? That's useful for parents that would have been useful for you when you were in this stage of life.
Oh man, the relational conversations that needed to be had earlier than I thought, the modeling. So much modeling, you know, not having my phone with me all the time, right. Not having to take every video and photograph of my kid versus just enjoying the moment, being present intentionally, the way that I react and get sucked into social media instead of connecting with my family. Education, modeling, data. Utilizing parental controls the right way. You know, when my son was born, I had no idea that there were router level filters that mm-hmm. you could implement. Nobody tells you that, right? No. You have a baby in the hospital and they're not like, okay, now when you go home, do these things, right? It's all about feeding them and them sleeping and that sort of thing. So it's the manual for how to be a parent in a tech world as much as you can have one.
I love that. I love that. And there will be a link to that also in the description. So please go get your hands on that sucker because it is such a good resource. Now, as amazing as all of this is, right? The handbook, the Bark Technologies, all the filters, mm-hmm. it's not effective without communication. It's correct. Not effective without talking about things. We can't just put a restriction on it and say, all right, don't do it. And then put a restriction on it. It's just hope is not a strategy to live by. Oof. I'm full of one-liners. Just kidding. I don't know. You said we got to talk about it frequently, younger than you think. Mm-hmm. How young is younger than you think?
Well, for example, when I started to see the data come in about how early and often children were exposed to pornography, I moved my talk to my kid about this date way up. You know what I mean? Like,
how young? How young is the date?
Age nine. But I had the help of a book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures.
Yes, we love that. We love that book. We love that book.
You should link to that as well. Like,
yes, and link to the podcast episode where we interviewed the author.
Perfect. Yes, Kristen A. Jensen. Is such an amazing force in this world and has helped so many families have this awkward conversation with their kids about what they might encounter online. And what do you do when that happens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just got to say that book, my 5-year, we went over Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior with my little kids. And then, you know, for a while they would use the term inappropriately, like, oh, is that pornography? I'm like, no. Remember what the book said. Let's go over this. You know, it's hilarious because they're comfortable with the word, which is important.
Yes.
Because when it happens in the wild later on, when it does matter, we want them to be comfortable with it. Yes, it might be slightly embarrassing if in the store he asks the register lady, if she knows what pornography is, he learned about his body parts and he was asking everybody, oh, you're a dude? Oh, that must mean you have this. And we're like, oh, great. Yeah, right. that's also okay. I'm glad
education.
I'm glad that you're comfortable with it. But yeah, we gotta talk about it young, guys. Young. And talking about these things young is not stealing their innocence. I hear that all the time, that you're stealing your kids' innocence when you talk about things like pornography and sex and online predators. Your kid doesn't have any emotion associated with this knowledge. You're the one that does, mom and dad. You have the trauma behind, you know, not having the education you should have had at a younger age. And feeling traumatized by that. And so don't project that fear of these things onto your kids. It's just data. It's just knowledge. It's not stealing their innocence. It's keeping them innocent. so that they're able to identify things when they come across it in the real world and not have it steal their innocence. They can run away. They can tell you, mom and dad, when it happens so that they can continue to be a child and they're not forced to grow up so much because they have, you know, they're being sextorted or they have an addiction to pornography and all these terrible things that can be avoided. Now, BARC is not just for parents and families. BARC is available for entire school districts that they can get on the BARC train on all their devices as well. Tell us about BARC for schools.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad you brought that up because children are not only encountering dangerous content and people at home and on mobile devices, but it's happening at schools. You know, schools are giving children their own devices and access to the internet for educational purposes and to do research and to connect with others, which is amazing, but that comes with unintended negative consequences. So all that to say, BARC gives our tech to any school in the United States for free. We launched BARC for Schools in March of 2018, following the tragic school shooting in Parkland, Florida, to help thwart future potential tragedies. And we've done that. And I'm so thankful that now over 3,000 districts use BARC and it's really made an impact.
Yeah, it has. I didn't know you give it to them for free. That's pretty dope. Most of the time, schools have to pay a pretty penny for products and services like that.
Yeah.
So that's really, really cool that you guys get to do it for free. I have a son in Tooele County, and we just got notified that the district got BARC for all the students and their student devices just barely this year. And we don't have it. My five-year-old is in kindergarten, so he doesn't have no devices in it. But it's cool because you get emails about the different trends. I'm aware of most of the trends because of what I do for a living, but I know a lot of parents aren't. And so when I look at my email, they're like, hey, here's some trends you should be aware of. And it's talking about parents on TikTok smashing eggs on their kids' faces and stuff like that. And I'm like, hey, I know about that one, but like, this is good. It's getting out to all the parents. It's so, so useful. And even if you don't have a kid that has a device yet, but they're in the school system and your school has BARC for Schools, you kind of get the heads up of what's going on in the digital world before your kid is thrown into it. You get a total advantage. It is so cool. So yeah. If, especially because it's free, if your school does not have BARC for Schools on their on all of the kids' personal devices, contact your administrator and let them know that there's a free resource out there that can help keep their technology safe. And that is BARC for Schools technology. Man, this has been such a wonderful conversation. This has been, I always say I love talking to people about this stuff. I love that part of my job is to talk to cool people. But I just always leave so empowered, especially when I talk to people like you that are giving good knowledge and good information and good actionable things to do to help keep our kids safe in this digital world. So thank you so much for all you're doing to help make this world a safer place. Where can people see what BARC and you are up to? Shameless plug time. Let's hear it.
Please go to bark.us, not .com. It's a different thing. Yeah. Go to bark.us. And from there, you can find all of our free resources. And then if you want to do more, we have more.
All the stuff. Bark.us. Go check them out. They'll be in the podcast description. And thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Save the Kids podcast. If you'd like Save the Kids to do a speaking event at your community, please reach out and let's make it happen. Links to all that good stuff is in the podcast description. Always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it. Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.